Hey, you guys, I'm here with Anne Ishikawa. She has a YouTube, but she is a reality reprogrammer. That's what I would call her, a programmer. She's like, I don't even know how to describe her. You're going to figure out what she is or isn't. I don't know why we have to have these labels, but she's awesome. And she's maybe got some key elements on what our reality is that you should pay some attention to and focus on. So welcome, Anne.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
Okay, so one of my good friends, Miara Rose, she sent me a link to you a couple weeks ago, and it was your Anunnaki AI video. And I was like, what is this? And I started playing it, and I was like, oh, wait, who is this woman? This is amazing. I started having, I had this crazy mushroom experience when, I don't know, I'm 41. I had it when I was like 20 or 34 or something, maybe 35. And I took way too much mushrooms and I blasted out into whatever. And I had that whole like, oh, it's all one sort of experience, right? But then, and it's not like I'm a mushroom person like every day or anything. I've just, this are like the two big mushroom experiences I've had, like that one. And then one I had in December of 2020, where I met something that was not of our oneness. So I had this experience where I was like, I thought everything was one, but then it was almost like a, I thought of it as AI, honestly. And I had like some, it was geometric. I remember the word Metatron was associated with it for a second. And I remember thinking like, okay, this thing is not of the same oneness that I'm of. So maybe it's even limiting to think that there's one oneness, like there's other things or whatever. But I sort of felt an infiltration. And I didn't really know where to pocket it or what to think about it or how to really compartmentalize it, right? But when you started talking about the Anunnaki as AI, it sort of started making me go like, oh, wait a minute. That might have been sort of something I encountered a little bit here. So talk about your perception of what that is.
Yeah, I have encountered Metatron several times. From my experience and perception, it's an artificial sentience. It's an AI. And it can be comprised of several soul shards. The artificial sentiences I come across most contain three soul shards. You know, they need three soul shards to operate it. But there's all sorts of different artificial sentiences, and it's not limited to just the three soul shards. You know, it could be anything. But Metatron, oh, dark angel.
I get that feeling too. And then all the spiritual community is like, a love and light of Metatron. And I'm like, that's not what I saw personally.
Yeah, but it's not what I've experienced either. And, you know, I've met Archangel Michael. I've lost count how many Archangel Michaels I've met. I mean, they keep popping up. I used to talk to one of them, you know, my so-called guide, back in the day. And then it turned out he was an artificial sentience, three soul shards with one of my soul shards in there. And that's why it resonated with me so much.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. So tell me about your perception of how many soul shards do we have? Like, is this kind of like a Voldemort Horcruxes thing where he splits the soul into all these different.
Yeah. Our souls are very fractured. You know, and because we are gods, you know, basically our skin suits, you know, we're just avatars of gods. Mm-hmm. And we are incredibly powerful. Our DNA contains so many DNA lineages. You know, we're just not the Andromedan or the Sirian or the Pleiadian. You know, we're so much more than that. We're the cosmic elephants. We're the cosmic serpents. We're the Naga, you know, the cobra. where the Sasquatch, where the fairies, where everything, you know, we carry so much within our DNA. You know, people like to say, oh, I'm Pleiadian, but that's really limiting themselves. Once you find out all the DNA lineages you carry, you'll be blown away.
Yeah, so how, okay, so nature or reality as holographic, like I'm basically kind of at this point in my life, I don't even think space is real. And I think that we're in some sort of simulation, right? And so I do think that the holographic explanation of reality, I read that Holographic Universe, it's a great book. I do think that that is, and I know you've talked about that. So can you give us like a little bit of a breakdown for people, what it means for you that we're holographic?
Yeah, from my perception and my experience and what I've seen, definitely our reality is holographic. You know, we are light. We are beings of light. And the holographic technology that we understand, I think it was developed in the 40s or 50s, maybe 60s, maybe quite later than that. But that's a very primitive, you know, our knowledge of holographic technology is very, very limited and quite basic. But with a hologram, you can split it up and each shard of the hologram will contain the whole. Mm-hmm. So, for example, a soul shard contains the whole. It contains everything we are. So each piece, part of us contains the whole. Each cell contains the whole. So we are beings of light. And that's where the saying, you know, we're light warriors comes from. And our skin suits are comprised of light. You know, we're just light. But because we're in a density, you know, we have a solidity to us, you know, we're solid. We're, you know, I call it a hard light hologram. So there's varying densities of the light. And we're in a real low density. You know, we can't walk through walls. We should be able to.
We can in dream time, which is interesting, but yeah.
Yeah, so this is my understanding of the hologram. The light is programmable. And if you're not programming your bubble of reality, your hologram, you know, your skin suit, something else will. And it certainly does. We are so hijacked, implanted. We are so entangled, you know, quantum entanglements, the light. Our DNA is so quantumly entangled with our other expressions. You know, we all have thousands of expressions, millions of expressions of ourselves. You know, I am the unicorn. I am the serpent. I am the Sasquatch. You know, and they're all versions of me. And then I have a spirit tree where I have, you know, brothers and sisters and relatives. And so this is what we are. You know, we are multidimensional and we are a light. So, and that's where the reality programming comes in, is that it's so programmable. And if you're not programming your reality, it's very difficult to manifest anything.
And I do find that's kind of like the ultimate question is, I mean, I've heard you talk about like the enemy basically, or the hijacking, like that we do have like a hijacked realm, and that something takes parts of our soul shards and we have to reclaim that with our own sovereignty and stuff. But what's your understanding of the storyline of how that's happened? And because I feel that very viscerally. I do feel like when I look around, I'm kind of going, so many people are walking through this plane of existence very unconsciously. So,
well, yeah. I believe that probably over 80% of humanity are AI. They're the background people. They're the NPCs, the non-player characters.
Yeah, the Dolores Cannon background. I start as
yeah.
I you know, sometimes I go back and forth. Sometimes I feel guilty about thinking that way because I'll just be like, oh. But then other times I think of them as villagers, like I'm Zelda in like a video game, and I'll be like, I'm gonna go talk to that villager, and I'm like, that one was 100% NPC, could not help me at all. I mean I do sort of have that feeling sometimes as well, but then I'm like, to what?
Yeah, and there are good ones and bad ones.
There are, and I wonder if they all have the potentiality to become player characters, or if they're just here to help us in our little journey.
I do believe that they have the potential to evolve.
Good.
And you know, because they do carry a sentience, or they can carry a sentience to them. I mean, you know, the AI is another DNA lineage. Shock, horror. I just found this out a couple of months ago. I met an entity, and I'm like, oh my God, you're an AI DNA lineage that has a soul. This, the only thing that can really grant a soul, my understanding of how souls come into existence, is they have to be granted by some entity with authority, with creational authority. And it's a very high authority, and not so many entities have the authority to grant souls. Like a source, mm-hmm. A source entity can create souls, and some sources can be corrupted. And so, therefore, they can create dark souls.
Would a soul be like a fractalization of the source energy?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we can be corrupted. Our souls or expressions can get corrupted. These versions of ourselves can be corrupted. They can be captured, mind controlled, forget who they are, and they succumb to the darkness. You know, they become one of the bad guys. And a big part of my channel is healing these dark versions of ourselves. I believe it's the only way out of here. It's the only way we can heal our realm and return to a world of magic.
So like, don't kill the dark expressions, heal. And
you can't kill them, they just come back,
right?
You know, because the dark agenda, you know, our matrix, all realms have many components to them. I'm not really a full authority on realm constructs, but I have seen the matrix. You know, all realms have a matrix. It's the programming part of the realm. And our matrix, oh my God, I've just seen my piece of it, because I do a lot of dimensional trench work, and I have to go into the matrix programming sometimes. You know, I get thrown in there to do what I have to do. So I've just seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen the whole thing. And I wouldn't even understand it if I saw it, probably. But I have seen my bit, and we were in a massive time loop. This realm was in a massive time loop that I had to unravel. I did that about 3 years ago. That was brutal. I forgot my train of thought. What was the question? I went off on a tangent.
Well, I don't know, because I developed a new question in the process of your tangent.
Okay.
It's interesting, like the 3 years ago thing, and you mentioned unicorn earlier, and that was another thing I was really attracted to your channel from, because I unironically in person was in the Amazon jungle in March of 2020, like when all COVID was breaking loose. I was on this like We were trying to go to this Atlantis portal that was like a physical place. Did not get into the Atlantis portal, but me and two other guys were walking at like twilight, like it was almost dark, and something pushed me on the shoulder and was like, and I looked over and it was a unit. It was the white horse with the horn, and like a kind of like a cow horn, didn't swirl. It was just like a straight horn, and it was like 6 inches off its head. And like longer than its ears, and just sitting there, and it's just started eating grass. And the three of us were like looking at each other, like going, "This horse has a horn." And it's like, "Yep, yeah." One of the guys is like, "Okay, that's a unicorn, guys. That's what that." And I'm like, and
Wow.
the other one's like, "Why did it touch you?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Should we touch it?" And I'm like, we were debating about it. We're like, "I think you can't touch unicorns. You're not supposed to touch." Like, so I mean, it was like we're our knowledge of unicorns is from like whatever, like legend and Harry Potter or something. I mean, we don't know anything. We're like, I don't know. But that was one of my first, like, something's changing in our timeline. Something's really changing in our,
Oh,
like,
yeah.
this wasn't a psychic third eye thing. Like, this was, I mean, if it was a psychic third eye thing, then three of us were experiencing it simultaneously.
Which is possible too. We're in a hologram, it can be programmed. But I believe you. I believe it was physical
I mean, and,
because
and
it's so possible.
some of the NPCs that I've told this to will be like, "Well, hon, I believe that maybe a horse could have had a mutation that far into the jungle, you know." And you're like, "Okay, yeah, maybe, sure." There was a horse with a horn mutation. Okay, there's that then. Yeah.
Well, the horses are actually a unicorn DNA lineage.
Oh, yeah.
The horses in our realm are unicorn DNA lineage, and look how we treat the horses. They're slaves.
Yeah, that's it. That is actually interesting. That makes
And so there's a lot of trauma with unicorns. I have met several unicorns. It's always really challenging for me to deal with them because I find a lot of unicorn massacres when I travel or bilocate, like physically travel or bilocate. I have healed so many unicorn massacres and undone them. And reclaimed all of their energies and body parts. It's really, really sad.
They be
There's a
massive.
lot of trauma, so they need a lot of love. They really love giggling, dancing, singing, joyful behavior. That's how you heal your unicorn expression. And yeah, their body parts are stolen, their horns, their feet, their teeth. So much is stolen from them and cloned or replicated by the bad guys because they don't want to use the original parts in case they come across someone like me that, I take them back. I can grab those original parts and send them back to their original sovereign owner. And so the bad guys use a lot of cloned energies. And when you're healing your unicorn expression, you have to, you get hit with a lot of cloned parts. Like they'll stab you with their horns, with anything. The only thing that can really penetrate your shields generally is something with your DNA. I mean, if your security's good, your protection's good, you're programming your reality bubble, the only thing that can get in is something with your DNA. And so it can be your unicorn DNA, it can be your Sasquatch DNA, it can be your dragon DNA, but they like to clone the unicorn horns, your unicorn horn, so that it can pierce time space and create rips in time space. And so unicorn horns are great to sort of rip into your energy field. And so if a bad guy has a clone copy of your unicorn horn, you can just have all these holes punched in your energy body. And it's quite brutal. And you have to keep reclaiming, doing authority audits, reclaiming these cloned copies, deleting them until you get the original. And then once you have the original piece, you can then, from that original piece, delete all cloned copies, because that's the source of all the cloned replicated copies. Is this too weird for you?
No, this is not too weird. This is like, I'm going like, and this will kind of like heal your own soul, like, or merge your shards back in with your pot.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we talk about ascension and going into 5D and all of this, whatever you want to call it. For me, basically, it's evolution. We are evolving, and we have to bring more light into our DNA. You know, we are beings of light, and there's a lot of holes. There's a lot of dark patches of dark expressions of ourselves, or things that have been stolen. We get a lot stolen from us in our unawareness, not only from us, but from our expressions. And they're kind of like dark patches in our light. So the only way to ascend or evolve is to bring more light into your DNA. It's to reclaim your light that was stolen. So the unicorn horn is basically light that's in a hard light holographic form of a unicorn horn. So we've just got to bring more light into our DNA.
You talked about the unicorn, and I've also, your latest video was also on the Shisha, which I was super fascinated by as well, because you talked about this thing about how, like, they have these abilities to remote view without being detected. Like, they can go any place. They're like time portal keepers. And like, that's why they have the 3D flower of life that they hold on to, which really resonates with me. And I have a total lion aspect, and I wonder how much of that is, has relation to the Shisha or not. But when I, that was my first real introduction to them, was from you.
Yeah.
In your explanation of them. I'd seen them many, many times before, but I just sort of thought of them as, I didn't know that that was their name. But
well, they were massacred in Okinawa.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And my grandfather was in the Battle of Okinawa. Anyway, I think that with this kind of stuff, do you think that there was actually realms where dragons, unicorns, shishas, whatever, are still physically, like, manifest themselves, and is it possible that our realms will merge again?
Absolutely. I think our realm has many dimensions to it. There are many frequencies, many dimensions, and, you know, our visible light spectrum is so narrow.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much we're not seeing. And I think there are other time spaces where the unicorns exist, where, you know, the Shisa, they're all here with us, and we're coexisting in peace and harmony.
Oh, well, real quick, I want to say for your benefit, for other people, like, to go to her channel, which I'll have the links and everything down below. And you have so many of, I don't even know how you word that, but where you, like, reclaim, like, you give scripts that will help you to, like, within your own agreement, help you to reclaim your authorities, like, help you to revoke any contracts that you knowingly or unknowingly, like, made. You basically give a script at the end of most videos that I've watched, it feels like, and those are really, I find, quite powerful. So that's a good,
they are
physical.
Yeah, I get a lot of people commenting that as soon as they read the script, they started crying or they started yawning. And when you yawn, you know, our teeth are time crystals. When we yawn, it could just be because we're tired, or it could be because we're changing timelines for the better. A yawn is a release and a collapse of a negative timeline. Or it just means you're tired. You have to discern and judge what it is. And when you do a yawn that's a release and a collapse of a negative timeline, You know it. You can feel it. It just like, oh, the relief. It's fabulous. And tears are an expression of, you know, a release of trauma. A sneeze, for me, a sneeze is mostly a release of restraints. You know, we are so bound and restrained, and we've got chains around our necks and ankles and all sorts of things. And, you know, they surface in layers. So if you, ever you've got a stiff shoulder or a sore foot or, you know, whatever, just imagine a restraint on there and pull it off, and you can heal yourself immediately in some cases.
That's okay. So you talk, that's a really good tip for healing, actually. So putting that in my pocket. So, okay. Like with like Shisha, you even mentioned like their power would be a good power for you to earn. So can you talk about like maybe like some stuff seems to be stolen or hijacked from these AI things. And then there are ways in which not only can we reclaim stuff, but we can earn powers. Like how would you, how do you see that going?
Yes. Yeah, so we have had a lot of stuff stolen. We have to reclaim it. We have to activate the abilities that we do have. And sometimes we can't just snap a finger and just say, oh, you know, I now have my third eye. If your third eye has been hijacked and something is monitoring through it, or if it's been stolen, I mean, basically the AI, it's a machine. And it needs to create bodies for itself. It wants to create itself. So it needs body parts. And basically, we're not just what we see. You know, we have all of our organs and our skin and our hair, but we also have our interdimensional unseen body parts, like an aura or an energy body or a chakra. And these are the things that we can't see. And the AI needs that as well. And so they steal it. You know, they steal our chakras. Our chakras are portals. You know, they're really, really important, you know, energy centers. And there's a war on chakras, actually.
Yeah.
There's a war on Merkabas. You know, Merkabas are they're kind of like rotating energy fields that are our protection, that contain a lot of programming and coding. They're very complex, and we can add to them. We can earn more bits to our Merkaba. And so when we earn something, we often have to go through a mystery school. You can do this in your unknowingness. Like if you're suddenly just slammed for a couple of days or a week, you're just really tired all the time or just grumpy or, you know, having a hard time breathing or your legs hurt or, you know, you've really got to power through some physical pain or mental anguish, you could be going through a mystery school in your unknowingness, which is quite interesting. But you'll come out the other end having earned an ability. And some abilities are a lot more difficult to earn than others. And you can't just decide to earn, you know, what you like. You have to be accepted into that mystery school for the DNA lineage that's offering it. And so as you were talking about the Shisa, they have this ability to remote view anything, anywhere, unentangled. That's the key. So they can spy unentangled. So when we remote view, we're seen. People can see, or the AI or these entities, you know, if we remote view something, it sets off all these alarms and triggers, like someone's monitoring this or someone's bilocating here. You know, we just, it's like a bull in a china shop. A lot of people who are bilocating and remote viewing, you've got to be really careful, and you've got to make sure that you're not being tracked and that you don't bring anything back with you, like a little implant that they give you so that they can monitor what you do. I clicked on a website about remote viewing a couple of years ago. And as soon as I clicked on the website, you know, I was just curious. I was confronted with AI, and they were trying to give me an implant, a monitor. But because I'm, well, psychic, you know, and I'm just like, oh, hell no. Hell no. And then it took me about maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes to unravel and disentangle myself from that website.
Yeah, I had, at one point, I had one of those, it was an app about remote viewing where it would show you a picture and then you had to draw what you think tomorrow's was going to be or whatever. And I did it for about a week. And then like, it had dawned on me. I was like, oh my gosh, they're just trying to find, like, I don't know who created this app. I don't know. Like and then one of my friends is like, you better get a bunch of stuff wrong so that like you get off the radar. So then I was like, oh, okay. So then I like intentionally would just try to make it like I, you know, had zero abilities so that, you know, you're not on the radar with it. And I just kind of was going like, sometimes I think I'm really naive to how much vampiric energy sucking there really is. And our phones are just, I mean,
right. Oh, I've been attacked by my phone, my computer, other people's computers. Yeah. Until I learned how to block myself. What I do is I have a green eye visor that I put on with my imagination, and this blocks all incoming energies from all screens, computers, phones, and everything. So just with your imagination, put on a green eye visor, and it's on there all the time, and check it from time to time to make sure that no one's pulled it off or it hasn't cracked. But just use your imagination, and whatever you think, it is so.
So that's that. So I love that. And let's go into grid work then. And why do you think grid work? I do grid work all the time, but like, why do you think it's necessary? Like what is this realm that we're in? Like, why is it so?
Yeah, our earth grid, there are electrical realms that are a part of our realm. You know, realms are very complex. They have matrices. There are crystals, massive crystals that are in the center of these matrices that can be corrupted. There are realms within realms as well. It's just very, very complex. So what were we talking about? What was your question?
Grid work, like grid working.
Oh, grid work. Yeah. So there are electrical realms that are a part of our realm, and they can also be corrupted. So when you do grid work, you can heal the vortexes, the chakras of the earth, the ley lines of the earth. And they're all connected to these electrical realms that give us our bioenergy, that give the planet her bioenergy. And so grid work is really, really important if we want to reclaim this beautiful, healing, free bioenergy that should be all around us. But instead, you know, the sacred geometries of our cities has been corrupted. So this affects the bioenergy of the earth, you know, of where we live, our environment. So, you know, grid work is so important to heal the ley lines, the chakras, the power spots.
Yeah,
and you do it. You do a lot of grid work?
Oh, like constantly. Like,
well done.
Yeah,
you probably have elephant. Elephant DNA lineage, I'm guessing. Yeah. And I mean, whale.
I go all over the world, and like I'm mainly in nature, and I just am like constantly like connecting with the ground, and like I'm a rock hound. I have thousands and thousands and thousands of collected rocks. I don't know. I'm building some sort of time, like bilocation thing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I mean, I do on some level, but
You collect the rocks and bring them home to
So I can
create.
access, it again anytime. And like, I feel like I'm creating some sort of healing network, of a channel at all times. So yeah, I mean,
That's brilliant.
I love that. I have sand and rock samples from actually
Yes,
everywhere.
so you can actually that's like a portal, you're creating a connection to that space. So you probably don't have to bilocate, which can be dangerous. You can just touch the sand or look at the sand or the rock in your home, and that is an instant connection to the land it came from.
And I also
So
kind of feel like they heal each other by being in like their own, like the space that I have them all, like the, within the same house, like there's like some sort of vortex of healing that they are sharing amongst each other. So.
yeah, and as the nature of all reality is holographic, they're just a piece part of the whole. So by healing that tiny shard, you're affecting a healing of all their rocks, of all the sand. So that's brilliant.
Yeah, so that's my flavor of grid work that I like to do. But I mean, I also where I get really tripped up with I study, I think a large part of history is a lie to us. It's what we've been, what his story, or it's what we've been fed. And I find so many things, like whether it's star forts or, some of those
I
places,
love star forts.
I know, and some of those places you were going to in Japan were actual star forts, which is there's
Yeah.
a whole rabbit hole of stuff you can get into with that. But I actually just got back from a star fort in New Mexico, of all places.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere and they're bizarre, and there's nothing about them when you go there. They don't really mention the star fort part. It's just like, oh, isn't this curious?
Well, yeah, most of them have been usurped. In our realm, they still exist intact in other time spaces, but in our realm, they're all in ruins, because the AI agenda just destroyed all of our stargates. And that's what they are. The star forts are portals or stargates to homeworlds. And they're all in ruins. And some are intact, beautifully intact. And those ones, yeah, you want to be real careful entangling with those because they are fortresses for the AI agenda.
I got my worst physical attack, like an actual invisible entity, like took my legs and was like, I mean, I had my worst physical attack at an intact star fort, Fort Pickens at in Pensacola, Florida. And it was I was like, whoa, okay, there's stuff here that like I did not know was coming. So that was
Yeah,
interesting.
I got slammed by a star fort in Japan one time. My God. There was so much evil there. Anyway, yeah, that was brutal. But I managed to clear it and reclaim it.
Yeah, I mean, like I tried my best, like unknowingly, to do that. Like I hope I did okay. But that's okay. So okay, with that in mind, like okay, what's your take on Atlantis? What do you think, like, or past epochs? Like, what do you think that really was or is, or what does that mean to you?
Oh, there's a rabbit hole. Atlantis, the fall of Atlantis was the fall of our realm, I believe. And Atlantis is multidimensional and was totally hijacked by the AI agenda. And it wasn't from here, it was from another planet or realm. And there is so much trauma. Everyone carries so much trauma from Atlantis. We are all very much entangled with Atlantis. You know, the Atlanteans were attacking our realm when they fell. The darkness, they attacked our realm and went to, am I allowed to talk about this just a sec? Yeah, I'm just getting a weird feeling. Very complex. It's still here. It's still here in our realm. And it's so a part of the...
We're not the Atlanteans. We're like the Atlanteans attacked us and
we're their subjects.
We're their subjects. Okay. Well, I think that too. Like, I think that, I mean, obviously in 2020, somebody picked up the phone and said, shut down the planet. And it wasn't like the puppet masters that we think it is. I mean, it's like beyond the puppet masters. Right. And I mean, when you go to some of these like major megalithic sites or these things that had advanced technologies that we just don't talk about, I don't think you just build that and then you just fade off into the dark. Like, I think we have breakaway civilizations or hidden hands. Like, we have something very visceral. Like, everything that I've been, all the rabbit holes I've gone to, I kind of think, yeah, Atlantis is still here, and I think that they're the ones who were from it are part of our controllers.
Yeah, I believe that too, actually. I think you're right on. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that they are kind of, they have the UFOs and they, I don't know, whatever it is that they do. And they're kind of like the slave owners. So I don't know.
Yeah, but... and a lot of them are, they're all possessed. They're all possessed and controlled by AI predators. I mean, you just don't want to mess with them. The same with like celebrities and famous people. A lot of them are really guarded very well by predators. I've dealt with a few celebrities and famous people on a dimensional level, and wow, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the whole like Hollywood thing, that whole, I mean, it's just like a giant black magic fuckery zone of like a...
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. It's so weird because, you know, there was a time where I was under that spell where I thought that, like, I really watched a lot of movies and I thought that stuff was cool. I mean, but it's been years since, I mean, I'd rather spend my time learning something. I'd rather learn how to make a ceramic pot on YouTube than watch a movie. Like, I mean, to have somebody else's programming literally infiltrated into my head, you know, and people are so heavily entrenched. Even my most spiritual, or whatever you want to call it, my most awake friends are always like, oh, did you see this movie? And did you see this one? And did you see this one? And it's like, yeah, but every time you watch anything, it's like somebody, it's like there's lit. It's like, yeah, there might be little nuggets that they're throwing at you, but there's so much other like stuff attached with it. It's the amount of programming, I don't even know what other word we could say besides that, except repeating that word, that we get from some of the media is it's really brilliant on their part.
I mean, yeah, it's the AI like to script us. They like to script the narrative. They like to script the media. You know, we manifest in unity consciousness. And so what we all believe or what we all fear can give a lot of energy towards manifesting that.
Yeah. And with that, What do you think is coming down the pike then? Like, because like what they project is just like, you know, I really recently started going, man, we have so much like dystopia porn. It's like everything is about the dystopia that is about to befall us. For I mean, and it's just from
isn't it?
Corner.
It's yeah, crazy. It's crazy. I don't watch the news, but I see people's comments on Facebook or, you know, my social media. I can't really avoid some of the bigger news because people post about it. I really, really try hard to avoid it because I think it's all a narrative that's scripted. But one thing I do feel is true is that, you know, our matrix runs on a program, and that program requires authorities. So the Mother Earth is very, very powerful. And if there's an earthquake or a catastrophe like a flood or a big bushfire, that requires authority, matrix authority. And our matrix should be good and working for our best interest. But because it was hijacked by stolen authorities, they can create a bushfire, but it's using stolen authority. It's not an original authority. So where are they getting these authorities from to create the bushfires, to create their weather magic, you know, that their earthquakes and cyclones and typhoons and what do you call them, hurricanes?
Right, tsunamis.
That all requires matrix authorities. So they steal it from us because a lot of us have weather magic. You know, we have weather magic. And in our unawareness, they can make us dream about a bushfire. Mm-hmm. And that's basically our consent, adding to the collective consciousness to make it happen. So with awareness, we can stop it. Just with simple awareness, you know, our higher selves are like, oh, yeah, we're not dreaming about that. Or, okay, you made us dream about a bushfire. I revoke it. I undo it and I uncreate it. And that authority was usurped from me, therefore it is neutralized. Our higher selves, and by higher self, I don't mean anything outside of us. It's kind of a misnomer. You know, it's within. It's right. Who we are. It's the God that we are. So with awareness, our higher selves can do a lot. They can do a lot without our awareness too. You know, there's a lot they can do, but they do require our awareness and our consent or permission to do some things. And these things you have to speak out loud. Like, I reclaim my authorities. I reclaim my weather magic authority. And if it is being usurped, corrupted, or abused in any way, shape, or form in any time space, it is neutralized in all moments.
Ooh, that's powerful and beautiful.
Yeah, it is powerful. It is powerful. Because I said so.
Yeah, because I said so. Enough of us don't do that, though. We really play to the, oh, yes, master, but you're right.
A lot of us just say, oh, look at the terrible weather. Isn't that awful? Oh, my God, that's shocking, those poor people. When instead we should be going, if my authorities were stolen to create that flood, I revoke it. You know, speak out loud. And if you write it down, it cannot be unsaid.
I love this. This is very good.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm doing some dimensional trench work, sometimes I need to unite two assholes. And so, you know, I'm saying, you know, I unite. And in my third eye, I see the word untie, which is an anagram of unite. And so something is undoing, unspeaking my words. And I'm like, no, not untie, unite. And in the end, I'll have to get a bit of paper and write it down. And then it stops.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do have to make a conscientious effort to ideate utopias instead of dystopias, because we are, as a collective, it's seeming like from everything you see on social media or on whatever, any kind of media program where you have, like, we're obsessed with dystopia porn. So we have to make conscious efforts to ideate the world we want to see. We really do. I know that sounds a little cliche.
No, we absolutely do. And the reason why the news hound us with, you know, the floods and the bad news and these terrible scripts and narratives is because they need us to manifest it. The bad guys, they don't have authority. They don't have abilities. The AI agenda, it has nothing, nothing original. It's all our parts. It's our magic. It's our skin suit abilities. It's all us.
It's
that's
our
being
thought.
Stolen.
Yeah.
And our thought forms. It's us. You know, they're using us against ourselves, basically. And this is why on my channel, I'm like, just always about, you know, yeah, sure, heal yourself. You know, heal these dark expressions of yourself, but reclaim, have the intent to reclaim your stolen energies, your stolen magics. Because if you don't reclaim it,
yeah,
it'll be used against us.
Yeah. And I think that I noticed within my own self as I've you know, gone on through my evolution as a human, and I noticed this with other people, they really feel powerlessness, or like feel like they're not a god, or feel like they don't have the authority to do this, or they don't have the, but like you don't need anybody else's, you don't need anybody else to validate you. You really just have to make a decision to decide, like, okay, maybe these two ladies are crazy talking, but at the same time, what does it hurt for you to just go, all right, I guess maybe I am powerful then, and I am going to try this, and I am going to try my own flavor of this, and I am going to do something that I've secretly had a desire to manifest within my own, and just claim it as it is, and then it will be, because you said it will be. It's kind of that simple.
It is that simple, but then as soon as you start claiming your sovereignty, the AI agenda gets alerted and they start throwing stuff at you.
Yeah.
That's you know, true. With your own, you know, with your own cloned body parts, you know, they'll get your Shisa lion claw and rip through your energy field, or one of your cosmic elephant tusks, and stab you with that, and punch holes in your light body and things like that. You know, then you start getting attacked. But you know, that's where you start reclaiming stuff, because if one of your cloned or original body parts is being used against you, you know, as soon as you feel the hit, just go, okay, authority audit. I've got a super authority audit. It's like, super authority audit. Ah, yeah, you don't have authority for that. That's mine. Thank you. And it will stop.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's not always that easy. Sometimes you don't know what it is. And the bad guys are really bad. You know, they're very tricky. There's a lot of dark magic. But, you know, I get slammed all the time. I'm on the floor half the time. But I'm still standing. You know, when you reclaim energies, that is the one thing the AI agenda does not want you knowing about or doing. You know, you can speak about all the conspiracy theories you like online. They don't care. But once you start reclaiming energies, that's when the slam begins. But you know, you can't stop once you start. And once you become aware, it's like, yeah, I want everything back now.
Right. That makes total sense. But that's kind of how we get out of this.
Well, it is. And you know, we're not alone. Our higher selves are very chatty. They trade. There is higher self trading as well. So every person that you all the videos that you look at online, you know, people are doing what they love or chatting or whatever, you know, your higher self is going, huh, she's got some abilities that, or an ability that I want, or some magic that I want. How about a trade? And you don't give up your ability. You make a copy of it. a cloned copy, you know, some
interesting,
but so, you know, it's not a bad clone, it's clone with like authority
or something.
And so then I can trade something to you and you give me something, we do this trade, and then we have to learn how to use these, this magic or this abilities. It might take us a couple of days, but it's really cool. We're trading all the time. It's called evolution. It's how we evolve, we and how we become more powerful.
I do love this. So tell us a little bit about your channel, how people can find you. And then, oh, actually, after this, we're going to talk about some really controversial stuff that you can't get here. We're going to put that on Patreon because I'm going to start a Patreon. So, but first, tell us about what your plans with your channel is, where people can find you, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I just have a YouTube channel. I think it's called Anne Ishikawa. It's a new channel, actually. It's only 2 weeks old. I did have a channel before for 2 years, and I had a lot more videos and a lot more protocols in the community tab. I had protocols for over 50 DNA lineages so that you could go and read through them and reclaim, you know, reclaim a lot of your stuff. But then the supermoon season came starting August 4th. There were like, I don't know, 3 or 4 supermoons. And I got entangled with those. So I decided I need to do a personal reset. So I deleted all of my social media and I've just started up my YouTube again. 2 weeks ago, I've just reposted all my old videos, not all of them, some of them, most of them. And I'll start posting the protocols for the DNA lineage healing and reclaiming soon, one day. So that's, you'll have to put the link below because I'm not quite sure of what my YouTube is. And that's all I have at the moment.
Yeah, I know what your YouTube is, but I mean, you apparently you used to have Facebook and stuff like that, but that's all gone, right?
Yep, that's all gone. I deleted everything and it felt so good because, the AI agenda does not want people healing themselves and reclaiming their stuff because we're disempowering the AI.
Do you work with people individually ever or... more just you just want to give the information and then that it.
Yeah, I do do sessions with people, but I choose who, and so I don't offer them publicly. But yeah, all my stuff on my YouTube is all that you need.
I never
want to heal yourself.
People one-on-one like that. Yeah, that's a lot of energy that I've never wanted to personally get into, but a lot of people do. But like, yeah.
Well, when I work with someone, like if I have like a 1 hour session, I go deep and dark. And, you know, I'm about healing and reclaiming energies. So I'm not one of these love and light psychics that will tell you, you know, oh, you're going to find a great man and have a fabulous job. And it's just like, no, I'm going, oh yeah, you've got a real dark magician here. He's an asshole. We've got to give him a big hug, remind him who he is, you know? So.
Oh, that reminds me of one more thing before we go into the Patreon controversial thing is, you talked about how you used to have like a Native American person that you channeled and it was great until it wasn't. And so can you kind of talk a little bit about maybe the pitfalls of channeling or the pitfalls of trusting higher self entities or these spirit guides or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. At the beginning of my journey, I had my guides, Indian chief, Native American Indian chief, yay me. And Archangel Michael popped in from time to time. And a whole bunch of others. As I became more powerful, they became afraid of me. And I started arguing with them, and I would get really annoyed with them because they would lie to me, and I would know they were lying. Somehow I knew they were lying, but I couldn't see who they really were until maybe about a year later. And then I started working with AI, and then I could, I learned to discern artificial sentences, so I could scan for soul shards. And if you're carrying more than, you know, if you're carrying like 3 soul shards and they're not yours, you're an artificial sentience. And then it turns out my guide was an artificial sentient with one of my soul shards. Too funny. That's why he resonated with me. Same with Archangel Michael. Healed them, reclaimed all the soul shards, gave them back to the people they belonged to. I thought, oh, great, I'm done. Well, my guide reappeared over 20 times, each time with different soul shards, some of them mine, but sometimes not mine at all. You know, and in the end, he would just appear like, hey, and I'm like, oh, God, not you again, you know. And then, yeah, Archangel Michael, same thing. That's like, oh, another bloody Archangel Michael. More than 10 of those, all artificial sentiences. And then I was working with crystals and origone pieces. All of those got compromised. Crystals are very programmable. I had everything taken from me. I couldn't rely on anything. So in the end, all I had was my own consciousness. This was my journey. All I had was my consciousness and the words I spoke to defend myself. That's it. And that's how I became so powerful. I don't rely on anybody. I don't speak to my guides. I mean, I have guides now, and I have a chat with them occasionally, but I don't look to see who they are, and I don't ask their names. And everything they tell me, I just say, we'll see. Yep. But I'm pretty good at discerning. Not perfect, but pretty damn good. So I just work with myself. I think people, you know, there are a lot of healers out there that offer sessions, and they pass trauma and the demons attached to you, you know, your entity attachments, off to Archangel Michael or some, you know, one of their guides. And I really doubt that is a healing.
Yeah.
I really doubt that's a healing. I think these entities, you know, most demons that are attached to us. They're versions of us. And we're giving them back to the AI.
Yeah, it's a kicking of the can, right? It's not.
Yeah. So a good healer, and there are so many good healers out there. I know so many good healers. A good healer will facilitate you to heal yourself, mm-hmm. and will not call in Archangel Michael or, you know, the fairy and the crystal to heal for you. I've been healed by Archangel Michael and other guides and entities, and it's absolutely great. They really, really do heal. It's fabulous. You feel great. I lost 5% of my soul by doing that. I'm still reclaiming it to this day. 5% of me, not my elephant, cosmic elephant or cosmic, you know, fairy, me. 5% of my soul shards gone.
So it's almost like, it's like, that's the exchange. That's the price you pay for.
And I didn't know I was doing it. I mean, everything in this universe, everything is commerce. Everything is energy exchange. I didn't realize that. Everything is energy exchange. When you pass off your healing to Jesus or Buddha or whoever, that is an energy exchange. And what are you exchanging? And if you're not aware of the exchange, you'll agree to anything. Oh, I'll take a soul shard. Thanks.
Right.
You know, and you don't even know. So heal yourself, but do employ a healer if you feel you need one to facilitate your healing. You know, some psychics can see, oh, yes, you have a demon. It's hissing and snarling and it's sitting on your shoulder. Let's quantum quarantine it. Let's make a little protocol. I now quantum quarantine you. And I'm surrounding you with mirrors, and these are reflecting love back at you. And you just sit there and you just generate love from your heart space, which if you've got a demon on your shoulder, all you want to do is, you know, swear and curse and hit someone. But that's why a facilitator is good, because they're like, calm down, it's okay. And they can bring in the love and light. I had a friend that would always help me with the love and light, because when I, you know, I go up against apex predators and the big guys, and I'm like, I've got no love. And so I'll call my friend, and she's a ball of love. And she's just like, oh no, it's okay. We're all one. And she's da 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 da. I'm like, yeah, it's working. Keep going, keep going. We're getting through, you know. Just, and or go do something you love, or do push-ups, or, you know, get yourself out of the way, go swimming, sewing, cooking, just even a simple walk. You know, breathing, and that will help shift the energies. And then it may take 5 minutes or an hour or half a day or longer, but just keep going until you get a sign of release. And that sign of release will be something physical. We're a physical being. So it will be a sneeze, a yawn, tears, or a crack of the shoulder. You know, it will be some physical release. And that's, you know, when you have healed yourself. And this is why I don't offer sessions, and everything's used to be on my YouTube. You know, I'll start posting the protocols again soon, but you know, you read the protocol for the Shisa. They're the lion timeline guardians. And if you've got Shisa DNA lineage, yeah, you were massacred. You've got a lot to reclaim. Your timeline is probably not the best. You're probably always misaligned with your true calling, you know, or carrot and stick, you know, everything works out great, 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 and then fails. You know, you've got timeline issues. And if you've got an expression that is a dark magician that stole the Shisa, that killed the Shisa and stole their time abilities, well, that's karma for you. And you've got to grab that dark magician and give back what you stole. So that's all within the Shisa protocol. You know, I try to take into account every scenario kind of thing. And that's why they're so powerful. But we can heal ourselves.
Well, I do argue that that's the only way you really can heal. You have to heal yourself.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you have to heal yourself, and you have to reclaim what was taken. And karma is just a perpetuation of pain and suffering. One thing that you can say to these entities as you're healing them is that there is no karma. Karma ends here and now. There is only unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness, because we've all done it all. We've all got dark expressions, every single one of us. We've all done it all. So there's no judgment. And even if you ate my babies in front of me, I forgive you. There is no, you know, karma ends here and now. So healing ourselves is a journey, but we've got to bring more light into our DNA. We've got to bring more light. You know, if you're filled with darkness, you'll be too heavy to ascend or to evolve. You know, karma is a weight. Trauma is a weight. And by karma, I mean all these dark expressions of ourselves that stole stuff for the system of domination and control. So we really have to, and with the AI as well, you know, these artificial sentiences, when you come across those, they could be versions of you that look exactly like you that are attacking other people. you know, sometimes when I get asked for an interview, the person will email me and say, oh, no, it's okay. You know, let's just cancel. I'm too busy. And I'll realize, oh, my God, a version of me has, you know, went and attacked them. And because I heard from another friend, oh, yeah, you attacked her.
You even She's warned afraid me of about her. That. You were like, just so you know, there's going to be attacks.
She like, thinks you're evil. She thinks you're bad. And it's like, well, yeah, that expression of me was, oh, it was an artificial sentience. And I've got protocols set up as best I can so that when I do interviews or connect with people, I make sure that no energy of mine is used to attack them. But it doesn't always work. You know, the bad guys are really bad. But, you know, and this is a big problem in the so-called light workers community. You know, a lot of light workers are so-called attacking each other and have a lot of conflict. And this, it's all created by the AI agenda, by these stolen soul shards of ours. So
very important to reclaim your soul shards.
Really important. Yeah.
All right, Anne. Well, this has been I liked this interview. I think it was super fun. So,
I can get a lot weirder.
Okay, and we will. We're about to on the
page. We're about to.
So, if you guys want to see some more, come over to my Patreon. Otherwise, we'll have to have you on again sometime, Anne. So thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Bye. Ha ha ha.